Marlowe Mysteries on the air, bringing you Phil Cole, the famous girl detective, and another opportunity to win your share of the $50,000 in cash prizes to be awarded the winners in this thrilling contest of skill. Every week at this same time, over this same station, your Philco radio tube dealer brings you transcribed the exciting Philco Radio Mystery Contest. Big weekly prizes, gigantic grand prizes. You may win just by answering the easy contest questions you will find in Philco Radio Mystery Book Number 2. If you haven't your copy yet, get it right away from your Philco radio tube dealer. In a moment, Philco, the girl detective, is going to solve the Double X mystery. As you listen to the broadcast, those of you who already have Philco Mystery Book Number 2, open it to pages 6 and 7. Then you can follow the action on the diagram. Listen carefully. Take notes. Be prepared to win your share of the $50,000 in cash prizes. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the Double X mystery. Our scene opens in Dr. Raymond's hospital, a famous private establishment. It is 11 o'clock in the morning, and Phil Coe and Tom Taylor are visiting a friend named Mrs. Brown, who is gravely ill. Phil has been ringing for the orderly, but receiving no response, she has gone into the corridor to look for him.
I'm awfully sorry, miss, but I didn't hear the buzzer. I'm Jad, the orderly.
Oh.
I hope you don't mind, miss, but I was having a smoke and a glance at the morning paper.
Oh, that's all right, Jad.
I was reading about last night's jewel robbery. That there diamond's quite valuable, ain't it?
Yes, that was a famous Faith diamond.
Well, there was a lot of shooting, and the police think they winged the bloke what stole it, but he got away. You know, coincidence is a funny thing.
What do you mean, Jud?
Well, of course it don't mean nothing, but a chap named Oliver came to the hospital early this morning with a bullet in his leg. Said he shot himself while cleaning his gun. Oliver's at the end of the corridor in room Double X.
Did Dr. Raymond report it to the police?
Oh, yes. They were here to investigate, but there's nothing to it. Smythe, that's Mr. Oliver's valet, he witnessed the accident. They're English chaps.
Oh.
You know, an hospital gives a bloke a chance to study human nature. Now take this chap Oliver, for instance. He gave me quite a chuckle this morning.
Oh, is it so funny to have a bullet in your leg?
Oh, no, it wasn't that. But when his nurse, Miss Rapp, was getting him ready for the operating room so they could probe for the bullet, she asked him to take out his false teeth. You know, miss, they make you take your dental plates out when you're taking an anesthetic.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, Oliver kicked up an awful fuss. Said the nurse would lose the false teeth or maybe break them. But he finally took them out and put them in the pocket of his hospital gown. Most irregular.
Oh, hello, Phil. Where have you been?
Oh, I've just been talking to Judd.
Mrs. Brown's asleep, so we'd better not go back.
Yeah. Hello, here comes Miss Rapp. She's the nurse of the Englishman I was telling you about, Mr. Oliver.
Excuse me. Aren't you Miss Phyllis Coe, the detective?
Yes, Miss Rapp.
Something awfully strange has happened in room Double X.
What has happened?
My patient, Mr. Oliver, was operated on a little while ago. Before they brought him back, I went into the room to get it ready and found everything all torn up.
What do you mean by torn up?
There'd been a thief in the room. Before I could finish getting things in order, Mr. Oliver arrived. Even in his drowsy condition from the anesthetic, he noticed the state of the room and became very excited.
Was anything missing?
Only a pair of silver-backed military brushes. I'm worried, Miss Coe. Won't you come into room Double X and have a look around?
All right, I'll come. Is Double X this next room on the right?
No, that's room Z. The one right beyond it is Double X. Come right away, will you please?
Of course. And Judd?
Yes, miss?
You better go down and report this to Dr. Raymond.
Right away, miss.
And I was planning a lovely luncheon for just the two of us.
Hey, what's going on out here? Sounds like a Tom Taylor.
Hurry! You look like a spook in that hospital gown.
I feel like little Eva.
Phil, this is Harry Jewett. We were classmates at dear old Montague. Harry, this is Phyllis Coe, who loves me dearly.
Oh, I move that last be stricken from the record. How do you do, Mr. Jewett?
How do you do?
You remember Harry. He was one of the best guards that ever broke a center's neck.
Well, what about you, Tom? You did some mean tackling yourself.
You don't look very ill, Mr. Jewett.
No, Miss Coe, but I suppose my address will be room Z for the next week or so. My doctor insisted that I come here for observation. The old football injury to my stomach is kicking up again.
Well, when did you get here, invalid?
Just this morning. This is the first time I've had my door open. Just opened it. But the guy next door has been raising Cain, and I heard footsteps scurrying around here in the corridor, so I thought I'd open the door and investigate. What's it all about?
So you tell him, Tom. I'll go next door to Double X and do a little investigating myself.
All right. If you need any help, give a war whoop.
All right. May I step in, Miss Rapp?
Oh, just a minute, Miss Coe. Mr. Oliver, this is Miss Coe.
I don't care who she is. Why don't people leave me alone?
I just want to ask a few questions, Mr. Oliver. Who is this other gentleman?
I am Smythe, Mr. Oliver's valet.
Oh, of course. Mr. Oliver, Have you any idea who ransacked your room?
No, I have not.
In my opinion, your military brushes were stolen by a common sneak thief. Miss Rapp, I think you should notify the police.
Police? Now look here, I'm a sick man.
Mr. Oliver, I'm only trying to help you.
Get out, both of you, and stay out. And tell that clumsy orderly to stay out, too. I brought Smythe over here to take care of me. I won't need anyone else.
I'm sorry I disturbed you. Come, Miss Rapp.
Oh, hello, Phil. Harry and I were just about to dash in there with a Marine.
By the sound of that guy, I thought sure he'd have a stroke.
I'm afraid Mr. Oliver doesn't like visitors.
Oh, Miss Cole, Dr. Raymond will be up shortly.
Oh, thank you, Judd. Now, let me get these four rooms straight. Mrs. Brown, whom we came to visit, is in room X, and Mr. Oliver is directly across from her in room double X. You, Mr. Jewett, occupy room Z next to Mr. Oliver, and in room Y, across from Z, is...
You wouldn't be interested in that room, Miss Coe. It's empty.
I'll go in and have a look anyway. I'll be right out.
Well, tell me, Harry, what have you been doing all these years since graduation?
Oh, one thing or another. Nothing to boast about. How about yourself?
Oh, you've never read any of my deathless novels?
Say, look, she's found the brushes.
Well, where were they, Phil?
On the floor of the closet. Look here. The silver backs are being pried off.
To me, as though the thief was searching for something little, something that might have been hidden in the brushes.
You're right, Tom. Now, Judd, tell me, have you been in that empty room this morning?
Me? Oh, no, Miss Cole.
Oh, come now, Judd, why don't you tell the truth?
What do you mean, Mr. Jewett?
Well, I was sitting in my room about an hour ago when I saw Judd come out of room Y. It's directly across the hall, so naturally I would see it.
He's right, miss, I was in there. But just to sneak a smoke and look at the morning paper... But I didn't take those brushes now, so help me.
Here comes Dr. Raymond, Miss Cole.
Oh, well, how do you do, Dr. Raymond?
Oh, good morning, Miss Cole. It's been a long time since I've had the pleasure of giving medical testimony in one of your court cases. Now, what is all this about silver brushes being stolen from Mr. Oliver?
Apparently, Doctor, there's been a sneak thief in the hospital. I found the brushes in this empty room, and I think the police should be notified.
Oh, but Miss Cole, if this gets into the papers...
Well, all right, Dr. Raymond. Well, Tom... It looks as though our luncheon plans haven't been spoiled after all.
Oh, incredible. Well, Harry, we'll drop in tomorrow.
Okay, Tom. It's swell seeing you again. And nice meeting you, Miss Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Jewett. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'll return to my bed of pain.
Oh, I'm sorry. You two haven't met. Dr. Raymond, this is Mr. Taylor.
Hello, Dr. Raymond. Mr. Taylor.
If you want me for anything, Dr. Raymond, call me at home. I'm in the book.
Thank you, Miss Cole. I shall. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, sir.
Well, Tom, what do you make of it? Think Judd stole the brushes?
No, I think he probably dropped them when he was moving the furniture in room double X, saw they were broken, and hid them in the closet so he wouldn't be punished. What do you think?
I think we haven't heard the last of it. Come on, let's find that heavenly food you've been boasting about. Phyllis Cole speaking.
This is Dr. Raymond at the hospital.
Oh, yes, doctor.
My patient, Mr. Oliver, he's been murdered.
What?
Yes, strangled to death. Judd, the orderly, I found him just a moment ago, about 1:30, about 2 hours after you left.
Was anything stolen?
No, but the body is lying on the floor. The bandage is brutally torn from his leg. The bedclothes are all torn apart.
Had he been dead long when Judd discovered him?
No, only a few minutes. Please come over, Miss Cole.
All right, Dr. Raymond. I'll be right over. Judd, Dr. Raymond says you discovered the body. Please tell me everything.
There ain't much else to tell, Miss Cole. I brought him his broth and found him here, like this.
Where was Smythe, his valet?
He went out to do some errands, he said. He saw me in the hall and asked me to get the broth.
Well, did you do it immediately?
Yes, Dr. Raymond. That is, I ordered it immediately. It was 1 o'clock, and since the other patients has their lunches at 12:30, I had to phone down for it. It came up about 1:20.
What did you do in the meantime?
I went around to the other rooms and collected the trays.
Were the patients all in their rooms?
Oh, yes, miss. The other end of the hall is all surgical cases confined to bed. Your friend, Mr. Jewett, is the only man on this floor who can walk about. But he was lying down complaining of stomach pains. He couldn't eat a bit of his lunch. He didn't touch his tray.
Thank you, Judd. Please leave the room now and send Mr. Jewett in.
Yes, Miss Cole.
Well, have you learned anything?
Oh, just a moment, Dr. Raymond. I want to question the nurse. Miss Rapp, where were you between 1 and 1:30?
I was across the hall in room X with your friend, Mrs. Brown. I stayed with her while her special nurse was at lunch.
Oh, thank you. You may go. Oh, how careless of me, Doctor. I don't suppose I should have asked Mr. Jewett to come in here.
Do you think moving around will seriously affect his condition?
Well, to be truthful, I really don't quite know what his trouble is. He arrived this morning and asked to be admitted. He has no physician of his own, and we're waiting for our stomach specialist to arrive.
I see. Oh, come in. Hello, Mr. Jewett.
Miss Cole, this is a frightful thing.
Oh, here, here now. Don't excite yourself. Here, you'd better sit down.
Oh, I'm all right, Dr. Raymond. Matter of fact, I'm thinking of leaving the hospital. I ate a tremendous lunch with no ill effects.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Did Tom come back with you, Miss Cole?
No, but I left word where I was going. Dr. Raymond.
Yes?
I'm going to ask you to do something very unusual and quite unpleasant.
Well?
I want you to remove Mr. Oliver's false teeth from his mouth.
Why, Miss Coe, I suppose I can do it. Yeah, let me look. Yes, the plate comes out rather easily. Well, here you are.
I thought so. This plate is an odd shape. There's a sizable bulge in it. I press this catch. The plate swings open on a tiny gold hinge. And here's what the thief was looking for when he murdered Oliver.
A diamond?
Yes, Doctor. The faith diamond. Now you'll have to call the police. And then they can arrest you, Mr. Jewett, for murder.
Sorry, but I won't be here. I'll take charge of that diamond, Miss Cole. Come on, hand it over.
Jewett, put on that gun.
Stay where you are, both of you.
Don't move, Jewett, or I'll drill you.
Smythe.
Drop that gun, Jewett.
Oh, good work, Smythe.
Thank you, Doctor. And now, Miss Cole, I'll take that stone.
Just a minute. Mr. Smythe, will you kindly explain yourself?
Well, Oliver and I came all the way from England to get the Faith Diamond. As for Mr. Jewett, as you Americans would say, he's been muscling in on our racket. And now, Miss Cole, if you haven't thrown that stone onto the bed within 5 seconds, I shall be forced to mess things up a trifle with this little pop gun. One, two, three.
Tom!
Why, Tom, have you forgotten that tackling from behind is illegal? I'm afraid you've knocked Smythe out.
Phil, are you all right?
Oh, yes, now, quick! Get you it! Stop him! Stop him!
So long, folks!
Oh. He's jumped through the window.
Take care of Phil, Doctor. I'll run down.
No need to, Taylor. This is the top floor.
Why do you suppose Phil Cole, the girl detective, suspected Harry Jewett? He really trapped himself, you know. Do you know why? You heard everything that happened, everything that was said. With the help of your Philco Mystery Book number 2, it should be easy for you to answer the contest question. You must have this Philco Mystery Book to enter the contest. So go and get yours free right away from your Philco radio tube dealer. Nothing to buy, of course. It's yours just for the asking. Listen to Philco Radio Mysteries every week at this time over this same station. Enter every weekly contest. It will be fun. It'll be exciting. Think of it, $50,000 in cash prizes for the winners. Doesn't that sound worth working for? Be wise and have your Philco radio tube dealer check up on your radio tube. Maybe you need new Philco tubes so that you won't miss any detail of any Philco mystery program. Don't let weak or noisy tubes spoil your opportunity to win. Names of major winners in this week's contest will be broadcast as soon as possible on a following Philco mystery program. Next week, Philco, the beautiful girl detective, is going to solve the mystery of the last will and testament. It's about a strange crime that happened up at Lonely Winds, the estate of rich old Daniel Bosworth. I'll be seeing you up there at this time over this station.